He wasn't paranoid. Everyone really was plotting against him. Jeremiah's message was unpopular, and for that reason, so was he. This is what the introduction to the book of Jeremiah in the Concordia Self-Study Bible says. Primarily a prophet of doom, he attracted few friends. Luther wrote in his preface to Jeremiah, "He was a sad and troubled prophet and lived in miserably evil days. Besides, he had a peculiarly difficult ministry. For over 40 years, down to the captivity, he had to say hard things to obstinately wicked people. Still, it did little good. He had to look on while the people went from bad to worse, always wanting to kill him and putting him to much hardship." And that's exactly what we see in this brief reading from Jeremiah. The plot of his enemies had been revealed to him. They planned to take his life. He was innocent of any wrongdoing. He was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. But because he was guilty of speaking the judgment and punishment of the Lord, enemies plotted to cut him down. And not just any enemies. If we read the verse following this selection that we just heard, we find out that the men of Anathoth were seeking Jeremiah's life. Anathoth, in case you don't remember, was Jeremiah's hometown. The very people he should have been able to turn to for help in time of trouble were plotting against him, were trying to kill him. Poor Jeremiah. Poor Jeremiah? Not really. Although he'd been forsaken by everyone else, including people from his hometown, maybe even his own family, although he'd been forsaken by everyone else, the Lord was with him. Jeremiah spoke the Lord's message, and the Lord promised to save him, to keep him from the hands of his enemies. We find this out by reading the verses immediately following the text. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anathoth who are seeking your life and saying, 'Do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands.' Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, 'I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left to them, because I will bring disaster on the men of Anathoth in the year of their punishment.'" God had promised to be on Jeremiah's side, to be his defender, to fight his battles for him. And yet, we find Jeremiah complaining about his enemies again in chapter 12. He alluded to the image of himself as a lamb being led to the slaughter and cried out to the Lord, "Drag them off to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." And again, the Lord spoke of the destruction he would bring on his people. "I will forsake my house, abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies." Doom and gloom and destruction. And yet, there is also much of the gospel in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied exile, but he also promised return. He predicted and witnessed the exile of God's chosen people. But he also spoke of the greater reason for which that people had been chosen in the first place. Jeremiah promised the coming of the Messiah and prophesied about the new age he would bring. Even in these brief verses of our text, we hear echoes of the great messianic promises, and we're reminded of their fulfillment. We hear of a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. We hear enemies cry, "Let us cut him off from the land of the living." And we remember that although Jeremiah was delivered from his enemies, Jesus was not. The lectionary for this week leads us to see this text in light of the gospel reading, where Jesus says, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus' enemies plotted against him. One of his own disciples delivered him into their hands, and the rest fled. Those enemies made sure that he was tried and convicted and sentenced to death, nailed to a cross and left to die. But even that wasn't the end of it. Because unlike Jeremiah, Jesus was abandoned by his Father, left on the cross to suffer the agony of hell for our sins. On that cross, the Lamb of God took away the sin of the world by his perfect sacrifice. And on Easter morning, he proclaimed his triumph over sin and death. The victory has been won. The victory has been won. Even though, from our perspective, it doesn't always look that way. And that's why we can still relate to the words of Jeremiah and to the words of Psalm 62. Have you ever felt like a leaning wall or a tottering fence that everybody's trying to knock down? Of course you have. Because we know and we understand that although the victory has been won, we don't see it and grasp it fully. We know that sin and suffering and death remain in this world. We know that even if we were threatened with death for the sake of God's word, as indeed many Christians are throughout the world, even if that were to happen, that does not nullify the promises of God. And yet for us, as for Jeremiah, it can be very hard to remember that. When you're faced with some seemingly insurmountable difficulty, when some hardship or opposition or sickness comes, and you're tempted to think, poor me, what did I do to deserve this? Poor me? Certainly not. The Lord is on our side, and the Lord has saved us. But like Jeremiah, we need to hear that over and over and over again. And we're reminded of that precisely when we face the trials and temptations and hardships and sufferings of this life. Because when everything is spinning out of our control, then we are shown that we're not in control. Then there's no pretense about our power and our ability. Then there's nothing left but our God. In that way, our loving Lord keeps us from straying. He keeps us in the shadow of the cross, close to himself. When suffering comes, we're thrown back on the cross of Christ, where he suffered everything for us. And like Jeremiah, we are left with the Lord, with his word to proclaim and with his word to comfort us. Luther reminds us that that is exactly what happened to Jeremiah. He wrote, "With this promise of the return from exile, Jeremiah had also to comfort and sustain himself, or he would have had little consolation and happiness." We know and believe and confess that the Lord's promise is indeed a great consolation and happiness. Though we are surrounded by sin and death, yet we have life in our Lord Jesus Christ, life now and life forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of our God.